This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From Napa to Los Altos to Novato, this is KGMC-FM and HD1 KGMC San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Oh, no, that's not how we start a Sunday show. Joe Spadoni, give it to him.
Now look at you walking in here looking all pretty and angry and mean and good. I know you didn't get your head down, so you can just sit down and just sit still.
You can go ahead and move with this now. Here it comes. Whoa, that's the way we start a show. There's a little energy. Welcome in, everybody. It is 12:01. Thank you to Ryan Covey for setting the stage for me oh so beautifully. Rick Tittle, I will do the same for him when I take my leave at 4 o'clock. Rick will be joining, and he, too, will have a four-hour solo show. Covey, Urban, Tittle. Do they have a chiropractic plan here? Because we are just carrying the station this weekend. I'm having the best time already. Thank you for being with us. I'll give you a little idea what to expect this afternoon. Probably a fair amount of Warriors talk, in case you hadn't heard. They're in the NBA Finals. And Kawhi Leonard. How many times, what's the over-under on how many times we're going to hear the Kawhi Leonard laugh drop? That's one of about, you're saying 10, Joe? See, now there's only 8 more to go, and we still got damn near 4 full hours. I think we're going to go over on that one. And yes, gambling is legal at Bushwood. You like that? All right, let me tell you the guests. We're going to have 2 NBA guests because it is, look, the Raptors are in the NBA Finals for the first time ever. I wonder how DeMar DeRozan is feeling right about now. They could never do a whole lot with him being one of the studs in Toronto, and then all of a sudden do a swap, and Kawhi's there, and I guess, what does that say? That says Kawhi's significantly better and more clutch than Mr. Frozen, DeFrozen. So the Raptors are going to probably have, are they going to be favored in the first game of this series? Are they already favored? Is it already up? I would imagine. I mean, I can't believe the Warriors were underdogs. I think they've been underdogs 4 times this postseason. I know there's been at least 2. I wasn't paying real close attention to the, I'm guessing, the 31-point comeback, the 31-point lead that the Warriors lost. I'm guessing they were favored in that game. Wow, how about being favored and then getting beat by 31? That's all in the past, though. This is a totally different Warriors team. They're so much better without Durant. No. You're not going to hear that from me. What we are going to take a look at, though, is rest versus rust. Had Toronto and Milwaukee been banging heads for 7 games, which is kind of what I was pulling for, not only because I like watching great basketball and 7 is more fun than 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1, but also it would have been perfect because the Warriors, they did need this time. They do need this time. It's still going. 3 key contributors. I don't know if I'd call Cousins a key contributor. He's a key player, though, right? But they've got, look, this is nothing new, for one thing. They've been dealing with this all year, right? Guys being out. And strength in numbers got called into question, saying, no, we're not strength in numbers anymore. It's just, the bench just isn't that good. Okay, then what's happened in the past several games? Warriors are favored? They're favored by one. Okay, wow. That makes sense to me, but a lot of times, you know, okay. They're at home. It's a playoff game. A lot of you hear this in football a lot, too. It's worth 3 points, home field advantage in football. I've heard the same thing said in basketball. I don't know. I'm not a gambler, so I stay away from all that stuff. Anyway, the opening round from Caesars, by the way, thank you to the 925, was Warriors minus one. We've had several people, actually, on the Chilton Autobody text line. That would be 95795. And if you want to hit us on the phone lines, 888-957-9570. So rest versus rust. Obviously, the Warriors have some guys banged up. It's going to help to have some time off. Had the Eastern Conference Finals go all the way to seven, that would have been, look, the Warriors are going to they were going to have to sit tight anyway. That wasn't going to change. So the only thing to happen in the Eastern Conference that would have been advantageous to them was for it just to go as long as possible. Kawhi didn't let that happen. We're seeing why Kawhi is a legit superstar in this league. I think some people forgot last year because of everything that was going on with the Spurs and Popovich. Just such a weird deal. I mean, those two guys, Popovich at one point, I mean, Kawhi could have been his long-lost son. The glowing terms in which he would describe his play and his character. And then it just all went to pot over, I don't even know if everybody knows what exactly the injury was. He sure looks pretty fit now. Now, he limps around quite a bit. I think Kawhi is one of those guys who always wants the opposition to think that he's a little bit banged up. Andre Iguodala is one of those guys, too. Last year, in particular, he conned the entire league into thinking he was done by having a... his regular season was at best. And so, going into the postseason, I don't know if you remember that far back, but when he would get the ball, they thought, well, the opposition, they say, well, based on what we've seen in the regular season, he's not looking to score. And he is a great playmaker, so let's sag off him a little bit and see how that works out. It didn't work out that well because Andre was playing everybody all year. And then the playoffs come. That's why they are paying him $16 million a year. It's not so he can help them get to the playoffs. It's so he can help them win, not just in the playoffs, but in the finals. You've heard Draymond, he kind of coined that expression, a 16-game player versus 82. Draymond was heavily involved in last year's draft. That was amusing. I loved that, actually. But Draymond was hanging around. He was like a kid, you know, dad's having a poker game down in the basement, and the kid keeps sneaking in and getting kicked out and sneaking in and getting kicked out. I don't think anyone is trying to kick out Draymond Green because they all value his opinion. But as he's watching guys, he basically, it was a basketball version of Tinder. Swipe right is good, right? That means you're into it. Swipe right. Two youngsters in the cage. Of course they know. So yeah, swipe right is good. That means you're into it, right? Okay. Gotcha. 888-957-9570. Rest versus rust. We hear this argument every year at about this time, every time one team has a considerably longer wait until the championship game or series or round or what have you. It happens quite a bit in baseball. I don't buy that there's any sort of momentum or hangover. I don't think there's anything that you can look at one series and say, this is how it's going to play out in the next series. It's just not. Every series is a totally different animal. Every game is a totally different animal. So I don't buy rust in particular. Obviously, rest is a good thing. You can't say, no, rest is bad. Some people think it could be bad, though, if you were on a roll, you'd just as soon get to that next game. Let's go. We're on a roll. It's not happening that way for the Warriors, obviously. But that's not a bad thing. The Warriors have been here before. They know how to do this. I think, look, The Raptors, they've got decent size weight until Thursday as well. I could see them being affected quite a bit more. And it's not necessarily rust versus rest. It's the NBA final stage is unlike anything any of these guys who haven't been there before. They have no idea what they're about to get into. They think they know. Some of them may have been to an all-star game where it's basically the league takes over. The league takes over in the NBA Finals. The league takes over in the Super Bowl. The league takes over in the Stanley Cup. Prior to that, the teams have quite a bit more ownership in terms of, you know, what goes down, what's going to happen in pregame introductions, where are we going to do this, who's going to be there. The league takes care of that now, and the Raptors certainly aren't used to that. The Warriors have seen it a bunch of times. They know how different it is. The media attention is totally different. Media availability. It's like you can't just kick it at your locker and have guys come wave after wave and ask you questions. You got to go sit up at the podium. Or I guess you could go to Marshawn Lynch and eat Skittles and say I'm just trying not to get fined. But I don't buy. I'm curious to see what you guys think about this rust versus rest. Because it's just, I tweeted this out the other day at Big Herb Sports. It's just not a debate that, I don't know, it's just, I get nothing out of it because it's the same debate that we hear every single year. And has anyone ever figured with any sort of legitimacy, with some heft, some gravitas, that this set of numbers tells you have this many X many days off, and if your opponent has X minus whatever it is, they go right into it. They got some momentum. There's some people out there who would think, okay, advantage Raptors because they've played most recently. It's ridiculous. It's not about rest or rust. It's just about being freaked out or not on a big stage. And a lot of teams, when they have youngsters who haven't been here before, after the series, before the series, they'll say it's just another game, da-da-da-da-da. After the series, especially if they won the series, they will cop to it. They're like, whoa, that's way different than I expected. And I think that's what the Raptors are about to get. What do you guys think? Rest versus rust? You going to play that game? I'm not. I'm just not. I think the Warriors have momentum now because they're at a point in the season where very few teams get to. It's just, they have a huge advantage there. Five straight NBA Finals. You know how many in a row the Raptors have been to? This is their first ever. My God. Who are we going to have join us first? I'm going to spin the wheel here. Let's go with Anthony Slater. Let's go with a rock star right off the rip. He, of course, covers the Warriors for The Athletic. Man, The Athletic must have like 7-8 guys assigned to every team in the playoffs, it seems like. I click on their NBA in their app, and it's just like, oh, my God. I thought I knew all the Athletic's writers. Well, I just know the Athletic Bay Area writers. There's Athletic's everywhere now. And it's kind of cool. You get long-form journalism. I dig it. 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to join the conversation. You will get your micro audition. If you're good, you get to stay on a little longer. If you're not, he gone. So we're going to talk to Anthony Slater, and we are going to get... Now, this is tired and cliche and trite and all that, but I want to get his X factor. That's another thing you hear going into every series. What's the X factor? What's the X factor? Well, like I always say, cliches, they exist because they're rooted in truth. So any of these cliches, any of these old bromides that you'd like to shoot down or pump up, 888-957-9570. Andrew in San Rafael, you are going to be our leadoff hitter when we go to the phones. First, it's Anthony Slater of The Athletic on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right. Thank you for being with us. It's 12:18 on a Sunday afternoon. I'm Michael Irvin. We will be together until 4 o'clock, at which point Rick Tittle will take over with a four-hour tour of his own. The Warriors are still alive. Were they ever even close to dead? Seriously, doesn't that Clippers series seem like forever ago? And how about that? If you're writing the script of the Warriors 2019 season and you submit it, and what you submit is basically the Clippers had the Warriors against the rope. It took the Clippers for the Warriors to find their sense of urgency and make magic in the playoffs yet again. It was the Clippers who did that. You got laughed out the building. I don't think most people expected the Clippers to even make the postseason, but they were a worthy foe. And look, the Rockets, they're the Rockets, right? They're obsessed with the Warriors. They're going to be obsessed for a long time because the obsession isn't going to end until they beat the Warriors, and they're never going to beat the Warriors. It's just not going to happen. I thought, but obviously they're a worthy foe, correct? Also a worthy foe. Now, it didn't look like it on the scoreboard, but look, the conference finals is, like, I'm talking about the difference between the NBA finals and every other playoff round, how it's just, oh my God, it's incredibly different. It kind of goes that way incrementally throughout the postseason. The Portland Trailblazers are better than they showed against the Warriors. It's a matchup league. It's one of those matchups that just doesn't suit the Blazers very well at all. Let's go to Andrew in San Rafael before we get to our buddy Anthony Slater. What's going on, Andrew?
What's up? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. What do you got for us? Don't make the great Anthony Slater sit on hold, okay? Get in, get out.
Gotcha. All righty. So I just wanted to ask, you know, defensively, what do you think the Warriors should be working on with preparation for Kawhi coming up? Last time in Toronto, you know, obviously the Raptors shot a higher percentage from three, free throw, and just field goal. Kawhi dropped 37, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, so are you asking me who I think they're going to put on Kawhi? It's going to be a bunch of different people. We'll get shots at it. But Andre Iguodala and Klay, I would imagine, are the two guys that are going to do most of the heavy lifting, don't you think?
Yeah, starting lineup, you think Klay takes him, though?
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll probably talk to Klay and say, hey, do you want this right off the rip? And, of course, we all know Klay will say yes. And if that question gets asked of him, then that's absolutely what I expect to see happen. But, again, it's got to be a team effort. I mean, Toronto's a tough opponent. There's no doubt about it. But they don't have a proven number two. There's some candidates at number two, but they don't have a proven one. It's just Kawhi. Let's talk to Anthony Slater of The Athletic about this because it's actually a pretty good question. It was on my list of questions to ask Anthony, so we may as well go there first. We will greet Anthony. What's going on, man? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Fantastic. Did you hear the guy's question while you're on hold?
Yeah, kind of about defending Kawhi.
Yeah, so what do you think? Am I on to something?
I think Iguodala will, you know, as long as he's healthy, we'll get the primary bulk of the assignment. You know, Klay is good and big for a two guard, but mm-hmm. Kawhi kind of takes the size to another level. You know, it would be Durant. Durant's been really good on Kawhi in the past. I remember 2016 West semis where really the game of that series was Thunder Spurs, that really good Spurs team. Durant held them scoreless in the fourth quarter, like outscored them 17-0 in kind of the deciding game of that series. So it would have been KD. It still might be KD at some point in the series if he comes back, but to me, you kind of trust Andre, just like you trusted Andre on LeBron. You know, this to me is like you can almost treat Kawhi and the Raptors like LeBron and the Cavs, and it was very rare that they had Klay on LeBron.
The voice you hear is that of Anthony Slater. He covers the Warriors for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Anthony V as in Victor Slater. Slater is S-L-A-T-E-R. Let's stay on the defensive side of things. Draymond Green, is he going to reprise the role that he played in the conference finals, which is kind of a center field-ish role? I mean, he wasn't playing a one-man zone, but it was awfully close to it. There were several possessions where I would rewind and watch specifically Draymond, and I swear in a five-second span, Anthony, he guarded all five guys. Is that even possible?
Well, the Blazers make it easy in the sense of they have, like, Aminu, who you even remember Al Farouk Aminu making one play in that series. Mo Harkless, who, yeah, he didn't have a very good series. And Evan Turner, you know, like, it's such a perfect matchup for Draymond to be able to roam because, like, the Blazers just don't have any threats, really, at the forward spots. Whereas Toronto, you know, I think it's the Pascal Siakam series. if Pascal Siakam's good and is, you know, fringe all-star, as many people were pumping him to be almost like the all-star team this year, and I think all-star teams are in his future, if he has a good series, because that's probably going to be Draymond's, you know, initial assignment, then suddenly he has to, you know, Draymond has a lot more into a singular focus on Siakam than what you mentioned, center field, roam, blow up, play. So I don't know. I don't know how Pascal Siakam's going to play. He wasn't that good in the conference finals after a good start to the playoffs. So to me, it's more dependent on how well Toronto is playing more than Draymond.
We're talking with Anthony Slater of The Athletic about the Warriors. They're going to tip off the NBA Finals, their fifth consecutive trip to the Finals. That will be Thursday in Toronto. I said earlier, I'm not sure if they have a clear-cut number two. Now, before the trade for Kawhi, it was DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry were that was it. If they're not getting work done, you're not getting work done if you're the Raptors. Would you consider Siakam to be their number two, or is he still not quite there? Because Lowry, he just, I don't know if he's dinged up, but every time I watch him in the playoffs, he leaves me wanting.
Yeah, he's actually, you know, I'd say he's had a pretty good playoffs. He's really been pretty solid as like a spot-up three-point shooter, but he's not your, like, traditional 2019, you know, conference finalist number two guy. I think that is kind of responsibility over the next couple of years is shifting towards Siakam, but you know, is Siakam ready? I don't know. I mean, as an on-ball guy, it's almost a little bit like the LeBron Cavs situation where the playmaking was like, what did Kawhi take? Remember that game 7 against the Sixers? I think Kawhi took like, did he take 39 shots?
It was something. Yeah, it was something nuts.
Amount of shot attempts. You know, he's had a lot of assists the last few games. Everything seems to be running through him. He's a little hobbled with the quad too, which I think is something to watch as these finals start, but you know, to me, it's not a LeBron Kyrie. It's more of a like a LeBron and, you know, kind of supplementary help pieces. You know, Kyle Lowry hit a spot up three. Fred VanVleet make a random play. Danny Green's got to hit some corner threes, and then Siakam's just kind of got to be a slasher, cutter, scorer.
You can follow Anthony Slater on Twitter at Anthony V. Slater. Again, he covers the Warriors for The Athletic. Anthony, what did you learn in the Western Conference Finals that maybe it can be applicable to the finals themselves?
You know, Steph Curry's good. He's healthy. You know, the finger, he kind of parlayed that 33-point second half to close out the Rockets to, like, a heavy rhythm series, which, as great as Steph is, you know he can be kind of streaky at times. When he's not going great, it's kind of usually for a few games. And when he is going great, it's something like we saw in that West Finals, which was, 36-37 points. So I think that is the primary concern for Toronto heading into these finals is how exactly they're going to defend Steph and how willing is Steve Kerr to just kind of let him operate in high screen situations. And if he is, you know, in a lot of high screen situations, how much does Nick Nurse put Kawhi on Curry? You know, knowing what we were talking about earlier, that Kawhi has such an offensive load on the other end. He is probably the best on-ball defender in basketball when he, you know, wants to be. And you're going to want him on Curry, but you can't just have him guarding Steph Curry all game and, you know, shooting 30 shots on the other. So, you know, that kind of back and forth is interesting to me.
Is Kawhi Leonard going to go back to Toronto? Is the fact that they made it to the conference finals, does that, you know, pretty much ice that? Do you have any idea if he's thinking about Toronto being a long-term home for him?
I don't know, because he's such a hard guy to read. You know, you talk to people who are there, you know, more often than I am and know people, you know, in Kawhi's inner circle better than I do, and they don't know because he's, like, such a hard guy to read. I mean, you almost never read any type of candid quote where, you know, it's the opposite with Durant where he says so much and he's so candid sometimes we're trying to parse out what every, you know, single word, every single interview means. With Kawhi, it's like there's nothing coming out of that camp. So, you know, you hear that he's, you know, interested in going to L.A. People all season have been saying their thought is he's leaning towards going to the Clippers. He's probably going to want to go towards the Clippers. But that was before this run happened and before you know, he's getting best player in the world buzz right now because, you know, with Durant going out. So it'll probably be hard for him to leave. Yet at the same time, I can't pretend like I can read Kawhi Leonard. He may win the title and then go play for the Clippers.
Anthony Slater of The Athletic joins us. Good enough to give us some time on a Sunday. The NBA Finals tip off on Thursday. That will be in Toronto. And if you're a Drake fan, you're in luck. If you don't like Drake, you're going to be bummed for those two games that they're in Toronto. We hear that clip from KD over and over. I don't give no damn about no Drake night. Is there any, like, legit animus there? Because it seems like it's, look, they're rock stars, rappers, musicians, actors, athletes. They all kind of want to hang out with each other. I don't see much animus in general.
No, they're like friends. It's almost like to an awkward degree. Remember there's that story where Drake has tattoos of like KD's number and Steph's number on him. And Drake, I think it was last year, flew on the team plane from Oracle to L.A. for an L.A. trip with the Warriors. Drake had a concert in Oracle, and he came on stage wearing KD's number 35. I remember the weirdest situation. They had a Drake night. It was Durant's first year with the Warriors. It was Drake night in Toronto, and Drake did a pregame press conference. And I was in the press conference. I like asked him like his thoughts on, you know, Durant making the move, and he gave like a long answer about, you know, Durant being his friend and him wanting his friend to be happy. There is a strange connection between Drake and the Warriors, and you can very much bet that ABC and the entire world knows that, and it will be pumped into Twitter and the sphere, and there's going to be Drake shots probably 9 times a quarter during these Toronto games.
Drake shots, that could be a drinking game, right, during the finals. Just whenever they show Drake on camera, you got to take a shot. You'll be hammered.
You'll be passed out by halftime, most likely.
Oh, that guy. Now, doesn't he have an official title with Toronto? Isn't he like the an ambassador of some sorts?
Yeah, ambassador. I believe, you know, his like company with the owl, I think OVO.
Yeah.
That sponsors their entire practice facility. Like, if you look at their practice facility online, it's like they have the Toronto logo and the owl, like OVO. So, I mean, he is in deep with the Raptors.
And how do the Raptors feel about it when all of a sudden he pops up on the Warriors plane or next to the Warriors bench in a game at Oracle? Is there any like, hey, dude, I thought you were with us?
I don't think so. I don't think they care that deep. I don't think Kawhi Leonard has any deeper thoughts than how he's going to guard the pick and roll. And, you know, Nick Nurse is probably just trying to figure out how to defend and score on the Warriors. I don't think Drake is such a little entity to himself. He's everywhere. And I think they just like it because it just kind of raises the profile of the Raptors, which, you know, they don't really have any charismatic stars, right? I mean, you got Kawhi, right, unbelievable player, but, you know, he's never, like I said, never really interviewed. Kyle Lowry, not super charismatic. So I think Drake almost becomes the face of a team that kind of needed a face.
Is the Raptors' defense, is it stout enough to handle the Warriors now that they've kind of rediscovered themselves in terms of the strength and numbers thing?
You know, I think they're built well to at least attempt it, where you got Kyle Lowry, you know, sturdy, powerful, more muscular guard than like a, you know, the biggest problem for Portland was when they dropped their bigs. Lillard couldn't get over screens. McCollum couldn't get over screens. Toronto has better guards for that with Lowry and Van Fleet coming off the bench. Danny Green traditionally is a pretty good defender, you know, especially on Clay. He's pretty good at, like, chasing Clay around. And then they have long wings. We mentioned Kawhi. I mean, we're talking about a 2-time defensive player of the year, 5-time all-defense guy. Him and Draymond, to me, are the two best defenders of the past decade in the NBA. So him on the court, you can deploy him everywhere. And with Durant out, he doesn't have to stick to one assignment. And then Pascal Siakam, you know, super long, young, quick defender. Serge Ibaka coming off the bench. He's older now, but he used to be, you know, I think he led the league in shot blocks 4 times. And, you know, he can at least somewhat capably get out on the perimeter. Marcus Gasol, bigger, probably can't switch out onto the perimeter, but he's a smart big defender, especially if Cousins is going to be implemented in this series. So Toronto's built as good defensively as any team I think the Warriors have seen.
Aside from Pascal Siakam, who I think the country is going to – I hope he plays well because the guy's dynamite. He's got considerable ceiling left, and I think casual basketball fans – and you get a lot of casual basketball fans during the postseason. They don't even tune in until the playoffs start. But I think this is going to be his opportunity to basically, it'll be his coming out party. So you know all about him. I know all about him. It's our jobs to know about these guys. But is there anybody else on that Raptors roster that you think by the time it's all said and done, the country's casual basketball fans are going to be going, damn, I didn't know he was that good?
I think Van Fleet is kind of like their 6-man backup guard. You know, he's a Wichita State guy, smart, capable. You know, he hit the big step back three last night, I thought. You know, there's a lot of big shots in that 26-3 run that put the Raptors over the top of Milwaukee. But Van Fleet hit that huge wing, kind of step back fadeaway three. Not that he does that a ton, but he just makes big plays. You know, it's, you know, almost mini Andre Iguodala, like where, you know, most teams, they watch the Warriors and You know, the casual fans just know the Steph, the Clay, the Draymond, the KD, but Iguodala always seems to come up with big plays. That, to me, is kind of what Van Vliet does on a smaller level, and obviously not as big a resume as Iguodala, but that's the type of resume he's starting to build. This would be a good series if he can have some big plays.
Now, we saw as soon as KD went down, Steph's production jumped. Clay started taking, I mean, it was back to being the Splash Brothers, basically, and that's what prompted these ridiculous debates about, oh, the Warriors better without Kevin Durant. I mean, it's silly, but look, they're playing great basketball. It's impossible to ignore, at the very least, the coincidence. But what I'd like to get into with you, Anthony, is the bench strength in numbers. We heard that the first 4 years of Kerr's run, and it started to, I don't know, you tell me, because you're there, did it start to fade a little bit last year and just continued to fade this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to me it was as thin as they've been on the bench this season, and a lot of that you can probably attribute to Livingston's just age. You know, Sean Livingston used to be the best seventh man in the world, right, behind Iguodala in those early title runs, and now it's to the point where this is probably his last series ever. You know, I think there's an expectation he's probably retiring. So that has been them, and then, you know, some of their young guys not developing. Obviously, Patrick McCaw, who is a name we will know in this series, even though he will probably not play for Toronto, but he's on the Raptors. You know, he didn't develop like the Warriors thought he would. Jordan Bell had a disappointing second season. Jacob Evans was not the immediate impact rotation guy they were hoping. So they've just kind of missed on some of the young guys. You know, there's no more David West, who was so sturdy for the last 3 years. So they've thinned some. And that obviously changed a little bit in the last five games since Durant went out. Jordan Bell suddenly became the guy they always thought he was going to be for a five-game stretch. But to me, one game in Houston and then the Blazers series, which honestly kind of felt more like a first or second-round series, that's a lot different than what we're about to see in these finals. And I'm interested to see, especially in these first couple games in Toronto, if Kerr does go 11 deep like he has been, how do those, you know, fringe rotation pieces hold up in Toronto?
Does the rotation shorten again when KD gets back, if KD gets back, if, you know, when Andre is back, if Boogie comes back? Was the roster expansion born of necessity, or did he just think that that was going to work in that series more than it would in the Blazer series?
You know, I mean, like the Rocket series, it was always going to be a short rotation because they feared the Rockets so much, whereas like Portland, it was going to be an 11-guy rotation until Portland threatened them. But Portland never threatened them. You know, it was a 1-0 lead, a 2-0 lead, a 3-0 lead. He never felt much concern. So I think it's going to start as a larger rotation. And even if, let's say, Durant comes back in game two or three, which I don't think he'll be back that quickly, but let's say he comes back in game two, if they're up 1-0 going into game two, I think he'll play Durant and still play 11 guys. To me, when the rotation shortens is when Toronto threatens them. And if that means that's a 1-0 Toronto lead right away, I see, you know, hey, Quinn Cook didn't play well in game one, suddenly he disappears from the rotation, that kind of situation. But, you know, he'll at least go to all his options until some of those options are proven just unplayable on the stage.
Anthony, before I let you go, I want to, you know, my approach to sports writing has always been to give the audience as much of the person as you can. By that, I mean not just what you find in box scores and all that. You know, I like finding out about what a guy's intangibles are, hearing his coaches and his teammates talking about it. I'm enamored these days with McKinney and just the way he attacks the offensive glass. I think he's a quiet little X factor in his own right. How does he get along with the other guys? What's the dynamic there? Obviously, he had no job guaranteed going into camp, and he won a job, and he's been awfully serviceable for them at times. He's been a little bit streaky, but he sure seems to have fit in well, and he seems, just based on, you know, granted, I don't have the perspective you do, but it seems like his teammates really like him and enjoy when he's getting off.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a high level of appreciation for his story. You know, from Luxembourg out of, you know, Wisconsin, Green Bay, wasn't even thought of as an NBA prospect. In his mind, didn't even think he was. And then suddenly his game starts to develop as he goes to the Mexican League, and he gets a G League tryout in Chicago a few years ago, and somehow latches on there, becomes a G League All-Star. Actually, his career really gets started coincidentally in Toronto. Last year he played a few minutes. It's almost like him and McCaw switched places, but, you know, he kind of got his foot in the door in Toronto. And then when they gave him the job this year, I think the rest of the team immediately liked him because it was like, oh, I'm so happy to be here and play any type of possible role you could want, which means 0 minutes on most nights. And that was such a contrast to the fact that McCaw had just held out and said, I don't want the job that McKinney is so grateful to have. McCaw was saying, I don't want it. I'm trying to force my way out. So I think just the fact that they have now, you know, we'll call him maybe an 11th man in the rotation, that is very fine being an 11th man. Like that matters in NBA locker room. You need your lower rotation guys to be okay being lower rotation guys. And McKinney is. And if you are that in the NBA, they'll like you.
So has anybody with the Warriors, is there anybody that McCaw was particularly close with on the roster? Does anybody know exactly what the hell went on with that? Because it's the craziest story of the season for being the NBA, a guy with the champs who so many potential mentors, they like you, they wanted to bring you back, and why do you not want to play for the Warriors? Have you gotten any little inside things that, you know, obviously I'm not going to ask you to speak out of school, but are his teammates still baffled by that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people were. I mean, the general, from his camp, it was just like he wanted more playmaking duties. He wanted more responsibility. He just wanted to find a different place in the league because it can be tough to be a young guy on a team that feels like his career can, you know, kind of trampoline to a higher level. If you remember after his rookie season, you had Andre Iguodala on stage saying, we found the next Andre Iguodala, basically saying McCaw was about to step into, you know, an Andre Iguodala type role. And then McCaw had the disappointing year two. And like, he personally felt that, you know, he was ready for, you know, more responsibility. Now the Warriors argument was, that's fine. You're a restricted free agent. If somebody's willing to pay that and offer that to you, go there. But nobody really was. And you see him right now in Toronto. He's not even playing. So that's where the confusion from the Warriors side of it was. Yeah, like, I can understand that perspective if that's out there being offered to you, but it's not. But McCaw just kind of, he just wanted a fresh start. Remember, he had a weird year last year with that. Remember the injury in Sacramento where he had to go to the hospital and there was, like, fear?
And didn't he request to go down to the G League at one point just to work on his game, which is a very unusual move?
Well, not only that, he requested to go down to the G League and then broke his wrist in a G League game.
Oh, man.
So, you know, it was just bad breaks. You had the Vince Carter undercut that sent him to the hospital. And it was just, I think a lot of it was like he just wanted a fresh start.
Yeah, and he's certainly getting that. If nothing but a fresh start in Toronto. Hey, Anthony, thank you so much for your time. Oh, real quick, I got to ask you this one. Rest versus rust. Is there much to it? I don't think so, because both of them have considerable amount of time. I don't know, though. Would the Warriors have been better served? Take out the fact that, you know, the time that they got off is going to be hugely advantageous if you can get Durant and Cousins and Iguodala all back. But other than that, do you buy the whole rest carryover to the next series?
Not really. I think this is what the Warriors would have preferred, the beat up. Obviously, you know, you get 9 more days of Durant getting closer, 9 more days of Cousins becoming a more viable potential option. You know, Curry's finger is now 9 days more healed. And you got to remember, this team they didn't really get a break at all during the playoffs. Between round 1 and 2, remember they got 2 days because the Clippers series went 6. And then obviously Rockets series goes 6. And what, 3-4 days later, you start the Blazers series. So I think they very much wanted the break. And, you know, and if that means they might miss a couple first quarter shots that they would have hit because they're a little rusty, that's okay with them.
Do you think just for the sake of trolling, the Warriors might bring back Zaza Pachulia for game 3 and have him sit behind the bench?
Maybe, although Kawhi doesn't seem like a guy that's going to get rattled by pretty much anything.
No, and I don't know that he has a sense of humor, although we do have a clip of a very strange... Have you heard our clip of him laughing?
I've heard it's the clip that everyone hears.
Oh, okay, all right. I didn't know that was out there in the world, too. I mean, we play that sound, I swear, for every hour that I'm on the air. Happens more during the week when I'm here. The weekend guys have it more buttoned down. But seriously, in a 4-hour show, 25 times we'll hear that Kawhi laugh.
Yeah, I mean, it is the only you know, outburst of emotion we've probably really ever heard from him.
He is human. Hey, Anthony, thank you so much for your time. I know you're going to kick ass in the finals just like you have all year long. Really appreciate you being so gracious with your time.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Anthony Slater of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter, @AnthonyV. Slater. Anything he said that kind of jumped out at you? Remember, we're taking auditions, micro auditions, to be my micro co-host. We'll put you on the air. If you're good, you might get a little more time. If you're not, you get bounced. And it's going to be all up to Joe Spadoni. That's right, Sharon, just like the ship deck. You haven't played that yet. Have we made that into a cut yet? Can we do ads? Can we make that a drop? I don't think we can. Wouldn't they like it, though? Free advertising. My God. All right. It's not just the NBA finals going on in sports, right? The Stanley Cup finals. Yeah, I see. Break. I'm getting the break sign from my 10-year-old producer behind the glass. Sorry, sir. I shall break now on 95.7 again. Private Eyes by Hall & Oates. I don't know how it fits. Is it related to this segment in some way, or it's just you get a kick out of Hall & Oates? Joe Spadoni, ladies and gentlemen, on the ones and twos, bumping 1980s Hall & Oates. Hold on a second. I just vomited in my mouth. I need to swallow it. The 831 on the Chilton Autobody text line, which we are going to spend some time with in this segment, because one of the things, when I air check myself, air check is when you go home and listen to yourself. It's not like you're feeling yourself. You're not like, I dig me some me. Let's hear me again. Everybody hates their own speaking voice. Or is it just me? I haven't run across anybody who thinks they have a good voice. Then again, I've never met Michael Buffer in person. I'm thinking he likes him some Michael Buffer voice. You sure there's no connection on this? I'm trying to find one. I'm scrambling for it. All right. Because normally when Wes plays an obscure tune like that, I'll ask him and he'll say, well, it's because of this and that and that and that. It's like, Joe Spadoni, just what you see is what you get, right?
I'm just an obscure guy, Herbs. That's
You're
it.
Just an obscure guy, just like this ship deck, Sharon. 831. Where was I? Squirrel. No rest or rust here, Herbs. Thank you for spelling Herbs, H-E-R-B-S. I like that. No rest or rust here, Herbs. I really think the Raptors are an excellent, legitimate team, no matter what. Please don't underestimate this Raptors team. Series will go 7 games. Go Dubs. All right, so you just called the Warriors winning game 7 on the road. That's what you just called. You realize that, right? Okay. 6-5-0. Draymond on Kawhi is going to be major issues for Kawhi all series long. Well, that's interesting because 6-5-0, put your name on it. Some of these texts are so good. I want to give you credit. Draymond is not the first name that came up with Anthony Slater of The Athletic in terms of who's going to be checking Kawhi. Draymond was not the second name brought up by Anthony Slater. It's going to be, at least to start, assuming he's going to be ready to rock, Iggy is going to be on Kawhi to start the series, and Klay will get a little bit, and of course Draymond will get a little bit, because Draymond gets a little bit of everything during every game. Oh, I did it again last night. I mentioned it earlier. I watched 4 quarters of basketball last night, and it doesn't take all that long if you have it DVR'd. You just blow through. I mean, if you're just watching one guy, and that's what I did for 4 quarters. Normally, I just do it for 1 quarter, but the game was monumental. His stat line was incredible. Draymond Green is playing the best basketball of his life, so I wanted to zero on him for 4 straight quarters. And that guy does so many things that we don't even notice. Those of us who think we know basketball. The only way I'm going to notice all the little things that Draymond does is if I do what I did last night and focus strictly on Draymond. Nothing but an ISO camera on Draymond. By the way, ISO and Draymond, you don't want those two things. They should not be ever together. That's not the type of guy Draymond is. But I do like that he's reminded some people that he can score when he absolutely needs to. He dropped, 32 on the Cavs in Game 7? It's a sore subject. They lost the game, but still. I didn't know Draymond had a 30-point night in him. He's thrown some 16s, some 18s, some 20s. My favorite, though, and we talked about triple-doubles and how Russell Westbrook is kind of... There was actually an article, I think, in ESPN, the magazine. Russell Westbrook broke the triple-double. It's just not as big a deal now that somebody's averaged it for three seasons. My favorite triple-doubles are the ones, though, that don't have double-digit points. Draymond got his with 10 blocks. Rudy Gobert, I believe, has a triple-double or two where it's rebounds, it is steals, and it's blocks. If you don't just, if it's not just the standard points, rebounds, assists, I kind of like those triple-doubles because they're definitely a rarity. And, I mean, come on. Draymond Green's, what, 6'7 at best? Blocking 10 shots in an NBA game? That's just silly. 408 says Draymond is like a safety on those pick and rolls. The 5'10, Patrick McCaw. 3 years in the league. I forgot Patrick McCaw was on the Toronto Raptors. That's going to be a fun little sidelight, right? I'm sure that the he'll be up on that podium at some point, probably pre-series, though, because I don't think they'll ever have any reason to talk to him after any game. Sounds like he's not really playing a whole lot. But the 5'10, oh, she put her name on it, Clarice, in the 5'10. Clarice. What's that? What movie? Silence of the Lambs. Yes. Patrick McCaw, 3 years in the league, three straight finals appearances. Lucky bastard. Patrick McCaw has been to the NBA Finals now 3 years in a row. He's right on LeBron's tail. When you think of LeBron and his playoff legacy, you go immediately to Patty McCaw right after. Don't, no, no, you don't. Let's go to Professor in San Jose. Professor, what's going on, man? You're on 95.7 again.
Hey, Herbs. Longtime listener, big fan. I got to give all the listeners tons of props for you, though. You know, not only have you had, you know, public some of your struggles, but you've also offered assistance and help to anyone. I love the genuineness that you have. And then one more just prop for you. I remember when Damon Bruce was having some health issues, you filled in for him. And you admitted to the listeners, this is that you had an interview with Steve Kerr. And you said, hey, that was my first interview with Steve Kerr. I never had one before, and I was really nervous. So... You're just honest, you're transparent, you're awesome, and I just want to just give props to you. Now, calling in for a rule change that I'd love to see.
Oh, screw the rule change. Just keep talking about how great I am. Let's go. You're on a roll. I'm just kidding. Yeah, what rule change are we talking about?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.